In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. And I do have these verses on the screen for you. Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Thus says the Lord, "Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." You may be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the obedience to His Word. Do you understand God? Now you might be thinking, "Preacher, I don't even understand my wife, much less understand God." But yet God says, let the one who boasts, boast in the fact that he understands and knows God. Last week we talked about what it meant to know God. And we said that knowing God meant to have a personal relationship with God, to know Him in an intimate way. And we come to know Him more and more intimately as He reveals Himself to us. Today we're going to see what it means to understand God and why it is so crucial that we understand God if we're going to obey His will. First, let me talk about the Hebrew word in our verse in Jeremiah for understand. It is the word shakal. Now, this word means to have insight into someone or to something. It's akin to the concept of wisdom. Shakal is the process of thinking through a situation and coming forth with a wise assessment or understanding of that situation. Now, when it refers to God, what it means to understand Him means that we are to ponder and pay close attention to God so that we can gain insight into His dealings with mankind. To understand God means that we understand and have insight into His nature, His character. Now, there's a difference between knowing someone and understanding someone. I mean, you might know me personally, but you may not understand me. Some of you know your wives very personally, but you don't understand your wife. Now, as a child growing up, I had a personal relationship with my parents, very close personal relationship. But I didn't really come to understand them until I became a parent myself. And then amazingly, my understanding of them got a lot deeper. And so there's a difference between knowing someone, even personally, and understanding that person. Now, to understand someone means that you have insight into how they act and why they respond to situations the way they do. And therefore, you have somewhat knowledge of their nature and character. Now, when God says, "Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me," what God is saying is, let him who boasts, boast in the fact that he has some insight into my nature and therefore understands why I do what I do and understands my dealings with him. By understanding God's nature, we can better understand and obey God's will for our lives. Well, then, if that be the case, you need to understand something of God's nature if you're going to obey God and follow His will for your life. Well, what is it about God's nature we need to understand? Well, let's talk about that. There are three main things, I believe, that you and I need to understand of the nature of God that will enable us to obey Him. Now, I'm going to talk about these three, and then I'm going to bring it all together with an application from the Scriptures. First of all, we need to understand that God is love. Therefore, His will for us is always best. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, God is love. It's God's nature to love. In fact, God demonstrated His love for us, the Scripture says, when Jesus died for us. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated His own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love for you was forever settled at the cross. You want proof of God's love for you? Look at the cross. Look at Jesus dying on the cross. Now, we run into problems when we look at our circumstances and try to determine God's love for us by our circumstances, don't we? Because you look at your circumstances and you think, well, it doesn't look like God loves me. Why would this be happening to me if He were loving me? Why would I lose my job if He were loving me? But God didn't say that He demonstrated His love for us by keeping all troubles out of our life. He didn't say He demonstrated His love for us by always making things easy for us. He didn't say He demonstrated His love for us by giving us whatever we want. No, He says He demonstrated His love for us in that Jesus Christ died for us. When you doubt God's love for you, look away from your situation and look at the cross. That is God's definitive proof that He loves you. You look at Jesus bearing your guilt and your shame on that cross. You look at Jesus suffering and dying in your place. You look at Jesus experiencing hell for you on that cross, and then you ask the question, does God love me? And you will not doubt His love for you. And because God loves you, His will for you is always best. Because God's nature is love, God cannot act contrary to His nature. God could no more tell a lie because He is truth. He could no more not act lovingly toward you as His child because He is love. Now, because God is all loving, now listen, that means that He can only will what is best for you. God's love will not allow Him even to will what is second best for you. He can only will what is the absolute best thing for your life. And so whatever God's will for your life is, you can rest assured that He's proven His love for you at the cross. And because He loves you supremely, His will for your life is actually the best thing for you. So the first thing you need to realize about the nature of God is He is all loving. Therefore, His will for your life is the best thing. Now, the second thing we need to understand about God's nature is not only is God all loving, but God is all knowing as well. Over in Isaiah chapter 46, we read about God being all knowing. In verse 9 of chapter 46, the Scripture says, remember the things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there's no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established, I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God can declare what's going to be at the end, even from the beginning. Why? Because He knows everything. He knows it all. He knows what's going to happen even before it happens. Therefore, the Scripture says He declares before it starts how it's going to end. So not only does God desire what is best for you because He is all love, but because God is all knowing, He knows what is best for you. Now, we might have a problem if God were only all loving. I mean, He could desire what's best for you, but if He didn't know what was best, it wouldn't do us much good, would it? But because He is not only all-loving, but He is all-knowing, He knows what is best for you. And His will is never a mistake. Now, we make mistakes because we don't know everything in advance, don't we? For instance, the Falcons made a mistake staking their hopes this season on Michael Vick being their quarterback. If they had to do it over, they would do it differently. The saying is, hindsight's 20/20. They made a mistake because they didn't know all the facts ahead of time, did they? They didn't know how it was going to come out. They didn't know what was going to happen. Well, because God knows all the facts ahead of time before they ever happen, He doesn't make mistakes. You see, God doesn't have hindsight. God doesn't have foresight. God just has sight. Because He's 20/20 all the time. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees it all. And when God has put together His best will for your life, He's taken into consideration every contingency, every possible situation, every way things might or could happen, and He says, this is best for you. This is my best for your life. God is always right. He never ever makes a mistake. Now, it's crucial that we believe that God's will is always right because there are times that it will not seem to our way of thinking that it is right because we do not know all the facts. And because we don't know all the facts, we think, well, God, that can't be right. You got to be making a mistake here. One day, Jesus was walking along with His disciples and He was talking to them. And He asked them the question. He said, who do people say I am? And Peter spoke up and said, well, some people say you are the prophet Elijah who's come back. Some people even think you're John the Baptist who's come back from the dead. And Jesus said, well, who do y'all think that I am? And Peter said, oh, you're the Son of God. You're Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to Peter, you know, Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. God the Father revealed that to you. He said, you're right. And you know, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and be persecuted by the religious leaders. And He must suffer and die and be raised from the dead. And Peter said, wait a minute. No. You're wrong, Jesus. Now, that cannot be. There is no way that it's God's plan for you to go and suffer and die. No way. Now, Peter had a problem with God's will because he didn't realize God was all-knowing. He thought Jesus was making a mistake here. No, you're supposed to be the Messiah that comes and reigns here on earth for 1,000 years. You're supposed to overthrow the Roman Empire and set up your kingdom. No, you're not supposed to die. And you know what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan. For your mind is on the ways of man, not on the things of God. So you and I can make the same mistake sometimes when God reveals His will to us. If we don't realize God's all-knowing and He doesn't make a mistake, we might think, now, wait a minute, God. This can't be right. So God is all-loving, therefore He only wants what's best for you. God's all-knowing, so He knows what's best for you. Now, thirdly, God is all-powerful. Therefore, He is able to accomplish His will in your life. Look over in Isaiah 46:10, passage we saw just a moment ago. It says, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God's going to accomplish His will because He is all powerful. Now again, it's crucial that we add this third element to our understanding of the nature of God. Because if God were simply all-loving and He desires what's best for you, and all-knowing because then He knows what's best for you, but if He wasn't able to bring it about, still it wouldn't do us a whole lot of good just to know what's best, would it? But because He's all-powerful, He can accomplish His will in your life, and He can enable you to accomplish His will in your life. So we must accept the threefold understanding of God's nature. He's all-loving, therefore He desires what's best for you. He is all-knowing, therefore He knows what's best for you, and He never makes a mistake. And He's all-powerful, therefore He can accomplish what is best for you. Now, God doesn't tell us what His will is and simply leave us to go out and do the best we can to accomplish it. No, He says, I will enable you to obey My will as you trust Me. If we don't understand God's power, what will happen is when God shows us His will and it looks to us like it's impossible, I mean, it is a God-sized task. What we will do if we don't understand God's power is that we'll think it's impossible and we'll just give up and say, no way. I can't do that. You know, Sarah had that problem. Remember Sarah, Abraham's wife? Here she is, 89 years old. And God says, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. You and old Abe, who's 100, are going to have a son. Well, Sarah looked at her body. And she knew she was 89. She knew she's long past the time of giving birth to children. And so she had a problem not understanding how powerful God was. And so she laughed. Well, God confronted her with that. And she denied it. Oh, no, no, I didn't laugh. God said, oh, yes, you did. And then God said to her, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and at this time next year, Sarah will have a son. And that time next year, Sarah had a son. Because God is all-powerful. God can accomplish His will through us. God can enable you to accomplish His will as you trust Him. Now you can see why it's so crucial that we understand the nature of God if we're going to obey His will for us. Because there's going to be a time He's going to show you His will and you're going to think, man, how can that be best? That looks awful. That looks like worse. But you got to know God's all-loving and that His plan for you is always best. And you're going to think, well, that's got to be a mistake, God. But you got to know God knows everything and He doesn't make any mistakes. Or you're going to think, God, that's impossible. I can't do that. But you got to know God's all-powerful and that He will enable and empower you to do His will. Now, having said these three aspects of God's nature, let me pull it all together with an example from the Scriptures. We'll go back to Abraham. It's my experience that it's rarely easy to obey God. Almost always, when God shows you His will for you, it's not easy to do it. It's tough. Well, God showed Abraham what God wanted him to do, and it was unimaginably difficult. Now, I personally think that probably the worst thing that a person can go through in this life is to lose a child. Now, Abraham and Sarah had waited 25 years from the time God promised they would have a child until they had Isaac. Well, when Isaac was a teenager, God came to Abraham and He said, Abraham, I got something I want you to do. My will for you and Isaac is for you to take Isaac and take him to the mountain that I will show you. And I want you to offer him to Me as a burnt offering. Now, folks, that's got to be tough. Well, let's look at the cycle of obeying God. Now, I want you to know, this wasn't the first time Abraham had been through this cycle because it keeps going. First, we come to understand God's nature as He reveals Himself to us. We understand His love, His wisdom, His power. And then when we understand God's love for us, when he comes to you as Lord and Savior, then you respond back with love for him. You love him. Now, when you love God, you come to understand that indeed God loves you and God wants what's best for you. And therefore, you trust God. See, if you have an obedience problem, it's really a trust problem. If you have a trust problem, it's really a love problem. Because when you really love God, you will trust him. And then as you trust God, you realize that he is able to accomplish his will in your life and you're able to obey him. And as you obey him, what does he do? He reveals more of himself to you. And that causes you to love him more. And that causes you to trust him more. And then that causes you to be able to obey him at a deeper level. And as you obey him, he reveals himself to you in a deeper way. And then what? You love him more. And the cycle just continues. Now, what I want you to know is when we're picking up Abraham here in Genesis 22, this isn't the first time Abraham's been through this cycle. He would not have been able to obey God if this is the first time he'd been through the cycle. Oh, no. He'd been through that cycle many times. And now his love, his faith, his trust in God had come to such a level that God put before him the ultimate test. All right, let's look now at Abraham. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn over to Genesis 22. First, God revealed himself to Abraham. This had gone on for years. God came to Abraham in Genesis 12 when Abraham didn't know a thing about God. He was a heathen in a heathen land, and God appeared to him, and God made a covenant with Abraham. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. He came to know God as his Lord. God came to him later in his life and gave him the victory over five enemy kings who had kidnapped his nephew Lot. And he came to know God as God Most High, the sovereign God at that time. And then later he came to Abraham and he made a covenant and told him he was going to have a son. And he came to know God as his shield at that time. And then he knew God when God actually brought about the promise of the son. Isaac, he knew God's power. God enabled both he and Sarah, long past the years of being able to give birth, He knew something of the power of God. So Abraham knew something of the nature of God. He knew God intimately. He knew God deeply. And because he knew God, it brings us to the next step. He loved God. He loved God deeply. He loved God intimately because God had revealed himself to Abraham. In fact, James tells us that Abraham was called the friend of God. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. How many people in Scripture do you know that are called the friend of God? But Abraham had come to understand something of the love of God, something of God's omniscience. He knows all, something of his omnipotence. He is all powerful. And he loved God. And because he loved God, he was able to move to the next step, which is trusting God. And we see this trust in verses 5 through 8. In Genesis 22, it says, and Abraham said to his young man as they had traveled to that place that God showed him, the place where he was to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham said, stay here with the donkey and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. You see his trust in the use of we. Abraham said, we, Isaac, and I will go to the mountain and we, Isaac and I will return. You say, but I thought he was going to offer him up as a burnt offering. That meant he had to kill him and burn him. Yes, but he trusted God. He knew God was able. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He knew that Isaac had to live because God had promised that it was from Isaac that Abraham's descendants would come. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. In other words, Abraham so trusted God that he knew that if he killed Isaac and burnt him to the crisp, that God was going to raise him from the ashes and he would continue to live because God had promised him that it was through Isaac that his descendants would come. Now that's trust. But he trusted God to that level because he loved God and because God had revealed himself many times through his life. And because he trusted God, he was able to obey God. As we continue to look at verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. He was going to be obedient to the end because he trusted God. And he trusted God because he loved God. And he loved God because God had revealed himself to him. He knew something of the nature of God. And you know the story, as he was preparing to bring down that knife, God called to him and said, "Stop, Abraham. Now I know you fear me more than anything." And then Abraham looked, and God had provided a ram for the sacrifice. As he obeyed God, God's power moved in and not only enabled him to obey, but God provided the sacrifice. And when God provided the sacrifice, Abraham came to know God in even a deeper, more intimate way, as we see in verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided." So you see how the cycle continues? When you are doing God's will for your life, you must have a confident belief in God's love, His wisdom, and His power. Maybe God has shown you something in your life that's His will, but you have not obeyed it. Well, let me encourage you to put this cycle to work in your situation. You know God loves you because He saved you. You know Him as your Lord and Savior. You know He loves you, so love Him back. And as you love Him back, you will come to know that He wants only what's best for you. For instance, perhaps He's told you you need to start tithing, and you haven't done it. Realize He loves you, that He only wants what's best for you, and tithing is best for you. Because you love Him and know that He wants only what is best for you, you can trust Him, that He knows what's best for you. And you may think, how can I tithe, man? I can't even pay my bills now. How can I give 10% of what I've got when I can't do it now and pay my bills? His will for you is never a mistake. And if you will trust Him and His power to enable you to obey, to accomplish His will in your life, then obey Him. And as you obey Him, He will provide for you, because you can never outgive God. And as He provides for you, you will see Him in a greater and deeper way. And as you see Him in a greater and deeper way, you'll love Him more. And then you'll trust Him more. And then you can obey Him in deeper levels. And He reveals Himself and it just continues. Are you obeying God? Is He saying something to you today that you know He wants you to do, but you haven't done it yet? It's a love problem. It's a trust problem. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are a God who is all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful. And we can rest, and no matter what Your will for our life is, it is best. And we can put aside our human attempts to understand sometimes what You're doing and just trust. Because we know You love us, and we love You. May we look to You to give us the strength we need to obey You and to enter into ever deeper levels of intimacy with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as we sing together and step out in obedience to the Holy Spirit as He's dealing with you.